Okay, so I feel like we should talk a little bit more about the difference between deraisas and derabanans in general. I mean, that's really what a lot of the sugya is, what a lot of this is turning on. So we started a little bit last week, but I'd just like to see if we can if we can define it a little bit better. Okay. The difference between deraisas and derabanans. Okay, so let's just use our case over here to see if we can get a clearer idea. So we're saying that like we were discussing last week, that the Rishonim seem to say that if you're going to say that, for instance, rechitza shel tainig is the iser, that doesn't have the form of deraisa. Okay. We used the somewhat complex case of dira as our question, right? That you have a mitzvah of dira that has a lot of exceptions to it, like if it's raining, if you're sick, right? So we were explaining that that dira really is not a particular action. But it's an activity of relating to the sukkah or turning the sukkah, being koveya the sukkah into your bias. And in that sense, in the sense of dira, in the sense of the activity of kvias ba sukkah, only certain actions partake of kvias, right? Only certain actions partake of dwelling, right? The word dwelling. So therefore, it's not that it's not that there are any exceptions. It's that you have to realize that the mitzvah is not one particular action, but it's a higher level of organization of a certain activity, and that's really the way we a certain way of engaging the sukkah as a ma'isa dira, and the ma'isa dira doesn't have any exceptions, right? And we were saying that by rechitza you can't learn it that way. But I just want to go into it a little bit more for a minute. Because, for instance, we had the case. I think we mentioned. There are a number of cases that seem to be exceptional. That seem to be difficult, even in this way of looking at things. I don't know if you remember. But one case that comes to mind is last year we were learning that there's an isser of kilayim, for instance, right? You can't wear a beged of kilayim, right? But the Gemara says that if a person is selling clothing, he's allowed to wear the beged to sell it, as long as he doesn't have kavana for the hanah of the beged. So, over there too, I mean, that does seem to be somewhat like an exception. I mean, he is physically donning the garments, you know. And it's just, the Gemara says, he can't, as long as Bilvajli is skavein, as long as he doesn't have kavana for the thing, right? Where we say you can do certain actions, as long as you don't have kavana for the, that's the Gemara that takes to the question of Vidavashin and Miskavin. So that's a difficulty. Or for instance, we say by Shabbos that according to Rabbi Huda, I think it is, that on Shabbos you're allowed to, there's an issur to dig dirt, right? I mentioned this last week. But if you is an issur to dig a hole, chofer, one of the avos malachos, but if a person takes the dirt, he doesn't want the hole, he does it across the dirt. Then we say it's according to Melach Hashem Shri Chagufa, it's not Nisa Deraisa. Okay? But it's the same, physically it's the same thing. Right? We mentioned that example last week, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know if we went back and really focus on it again, though. So I'd just like to, let's see if we can just clarify a little better. When we have exceptions, even in one mice, and it's dira is a good example because it throws it up to a higher plane, a plane of activity, and that you can clearly see that there's a difference between saying that not going in the rain when not going in the sukkah in the rain is not an activity of dira. I can see that, But even on the level of particular maisa, sometimes in the Daraisa, it seems like there are exceptions. So you have to understand. So let's really understand better what we mean by saying a maisa is asur. Yeah. So what do we mean when Torah says, when we say according to when we say there's an isser to do a certain maisa, right? So what does that really mean? Let's say digging. Isser to do digging on Shabbos, to dig a hole, okay? Or anything you think of. Achila, I mean, you know, your favorite isser, levisha, anything you want, right? Example of isser, I mean.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to say that the maisa is usser? So we have to define maisa a little bit better. So how do you define maisa?
Maisa.
Yeah. Action. Okay. So action doesn't mean to say, we don't mean to say that there's like a physical motion per se that is usur. Okay. Action, maisa, really is more than just physical action. Okay. Maisa means that there's an action that produces something. There's a product. There's something that is a certain. If I want to define the action, define an action, you have to really look at an objective that it accomplishes. Okay. And when we say sometimes it's not easy to define the objective, but there's always when I define writing, anything you can think of that you do, right? We don't define writing by writing is not called writing because of the sum total of physical actions that I do. It's because it's produces ksav. Right, it's a certain way of producing an entity of the written word, right? Like we were talking about before, speaking is a certain type of communication, right? We always define an action by the product that it seeks, okay? And when we say in the Torah that mitzvos daraisa have no exception, it means to say that once we identify what the maisa truly is, then there's no exception to that maisa. But in order to define the maisa, you can't look at a physical action. You have to look at an objective. That's what qualifies the physical maisa. That's what qualifies what turns this into into writing, into digging, into anything else, into sewing, any type of thing that you do. It has to do with the product that the physical action achieves. Okay, so
does every action have a product that
every action has a product. The product could be the action itself.
Let's say like yeshiva or rechitza or things like that.
Yeah, everything is defined. If you have an English word for it, if there's a word for it, that means it's doing something. That means there's some sort of human activity involved. Okay. But the thing is like this, that you can't tell what you're doing simply by looking at the physical action sometimes. And the example is the digging. Let's take that as an example. Torah says don't dig. But let's say I'm getting dirt. Okay? So it's not the physical action of putting a shovel in the ground and lifting it up that's called chofer. Chofer is not, you can't take a picture of a guy who has the shovel in the ground and say he's chofer. Necessarily, that's just the physical action that he's going through. What defines what he's doing as chofer? The product that he's seeking. That's what we see. That's what you have by Shabbos. That's what you have by Shabbos. You have Meleches Mach Shabbos. And we say that when do we say a person can't dig, right? But it means to say he can't do the maisa of producing the hole. Okay? So, but if he's doing the maisa of getting the dirt, he's not digging. He's not digging. You understand?
Do we have the same thing by schita, just out of curiosity?
Yes. Yeah, the similar thing by schita. It depends. If a person has a wet, let's say, cucumber or something, wet pickle, the Gemara says, so it depends. If he wants a dry pickle and he squeezes out the juice, so that's mutter. If he wants juice and he squeezes it, then he's sochet. He's doing the same physical thing, squeezing a pickle and juice is coming out. But that's physically what he's doing. That's not his maisa, really. See, maisa really, every maisa really is like a little mini activity in a certain sense. You know what I mean? There's a certain thing you're involved in. There's a certain thing you're involved in. And that's the product. So when we say that daraisas have no exception, it doesn't mean that it's just a purely, it doesn't mean it's defined in a robotic maisa, a series of physical manipulations. It means you can't be involved in a certain kind of a certain maisa that's defined by what it's achieving. So it's not an exception that getting dirt is not usur. Since every maisa is always defined by what you're producing, you're not making a hole, you're getting dirt. Now it turns out the hole comes with mela. A lot of things happen with mela. A lot of things happen when I walk through the grass. I put the grass gets folded. You don't say I'm folding grass. I'm walking. That's not what I'm choosing to do.
What I don't understand why that's not a product of your action.
It's a byproduct.
It's not the. It's a byproduct. Exactly.
Why does that make a difference though? It's still resulting from your action.
So that's a different question. If things result from my action, is that a problem? But that's not what I'm doing. You can't say, what is the person involved in? You can't say, which maisa is the person doing?
Really?
Yeah. But 1 second. And that's like by the shatnez question. Now it's, what when a person is lovesh, so that's a certain idea of protecting his body. What's a malbush? A malbush is something that you wear either to adorn yourself, right? Like on Shabbos. Either to adorn yourself or to protect yourself from the elements. That's the definition of clothing. That's what a malbush is, right? Mm-hmm. But if a person is, it's not a physical action of slipping something over your body. That's not what malbush is. Malbush is a certain action of utilizing the clothing to produce an effect of protection from the elements, or adorning yourself, like a tachshit. But if a person is trying to sell his wares and he's modeling it, that's a different action. He has a totally different objective. Okay, so now the question becomes: well, what about when two things have the same action but different reasons? Can you do them? So that's what the Gemara says. As long as you're not miskaven for the malbush, it's a question. It's not a question of an exception. It's a question of, can we define which action you're really engaging in? You understand? Two things that look exactly the same: putting on a beged and walking around. One, I'll say the person is modeling, and one, I'll say the person is enjoying the beged. One, he is. Selling, advertising, whatever you want to call it, modeling, and the other one, he's doing a Maisa Levisha. It's not that there's an exception, but there's a clear distinction in the actions based on the product. It's like a homonym, right?
Exactly what you're saying.
It's two things that have the same appearance physically, but not the same product. And we don't define Maisa just by an empty physical thing, because it's a human activity. It goes by, it's not just like a puppet, whatever the thing happens to look like. It goes by Maisei Adam. Maisei Adam always are defined by the objective that a person seeks. That's what a person is involved in. That's what a person is doing, right? So if you look carefully at the cases, you should always find in a deraisa situation that there's a strict definition of the isser that takes into account the physical maneuvering and the product it seeks. That's what we all call the maisa isser, okay? And then and only that maisa is usser. There might be another physical action that brings about a different result, and that would not necessarily be usser. If they're always simultaneous, it's a problem. Like that's called psikresha. Right? If two things always coincide, that's complicated. Well, I mean, what's the difference between psikresha and malchus and gufa is complicated. That's something we can't talk about right now. But the point is like this. The point is like this. It's not an exception. It's not saying you're allowed to wear shatnas for your parnasa, right? For modeling. It's saying that's not levishas begadim. That's mare begadim. Or let's say you wanted to go to the store and try it on for size, right? It's not levisha. Now, if mamela, it happens to be a freezing cold day, and you're also trying on a warm, woolly, coat, that'd be a shiloh, because you're automatically going to also be enjoying it. So that'd be a question. But if that's not, can we say that, well, you're enjoying it too, so that's also part of what you're doing. But the point is, it's always a question of bringing the product into your maisa, defining what you're doing by that product. Okay? You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. Let me just say one more point. What do we mean when we say that the derises are absolute, meaning they have the quality of of law, that we don't, like axiomatic almost. We don't look at them as vehicles for something else. We don't say, don't do this because something else might happen. That is the definition of the isser. Is the reason itself, is the only thing that we're concerned about. We don't say, you can't wear shatnas because then maybe you'll get whatever. Don't eat, we don't look at motivation and what might come from. We don't rationalize the mitzvah. We say the mitzvah is structured this way, and that's it. Okay, and it's interesting, the Gemara does say the mitzvah that it does give a reason for caused Shlomo HaMelech to make a mistake. Because it says, don't increase your horses because you go back to Mitzrayim. Don't have many, the king shouldn't have many wives because they'll turn his heart. And he said about himself that neither one of them would happen. Okay, what that says about mitzvos and Shlomo is a very deep question that I would love someone to explain to me, but we take the mitzvahs as absolutes, okay? No, you can't say that. But the Rabbanans are not like that. The Rabbanans are always formulated with an objective. A clear objective of supporting the deraisa, okay, and they're not formulated in an absolute sense. So when we can say that they won't function for the deraisa, it's very possible that they wouldn't be considered usser, because the isser comes from what they are. Deraisas, we have to observe what they are. The deraisas are laid down as axioms. This maisa is usser. As long as it is this maisa, it is usser. The rabbanons really come in a different way. They really exist as a mishmeres to the deraisa, and they're formulated in that way. That's why deraisas are formulated. You have to look for the strict definition of the Maisa, and that's going to be the Isser. But the Rabbanans have a lot more leeway. I'm not saying that you can just, you know, decide that it's not a problem for you. But the Rabbanans have a lot more leeway. They're not necessarily formulated in an objective sense with Maisa. I'll give you an example. Like the Isser of Refuah on Shabbos, for instance. Okay? So if it were a Daraisa, that's how we would have to look at it. We have to say, okay, any Maisa whose objective is Refuah, is health, is wellness, would be Usser. But we know that the Rabbanan is not formulated that way. For instance, if you do something, the Rabbanans are more formulated in the sense of the appearance of the Maisa. If you look through the halachos of Refuah, the Isser of Refuah, we say anything that you're doing, even though you're doing it for Refuah, if a person who is not sick would also do it, is mutter. Okay? But for you, it certainly is the objective of Refuah, but it doesn't have the appearance of Refuah. As a matter of fact, Gemara Zapat has a question of certain things that, like for instance, you can drink certain drinks. The anigron or whatever it is, because as long as healthy people drink it, or if you have something's bothering your mouth, you can drink it in a normal way, but you can't swish it around your mouth, right? But in terms of Maisa and objective, it would seem that it should be considered the Maisa Refuah, but the Rabbanans can define things in different ways. They can define the Maisa more by its appearance or in a different sense, because it's not implemented with the idea that Refuah per se is Usser. It's to keep a certain awareness on Shabbos of the Isser of preparing medicines. Okay. They're not defining the Maisa in the sense of its objective.
Why can't you take a pill, for example?
Nicker that it's for Refuah. It has to be nicker that it's L'shem Refuah.
Is that a different kind of
yeah. But not, so let me explain. So let's get back to our case. Maybe I went that way. So let's go back to our case of rechitza. So if I would say rechitza shel tainig is mutter, okay? So the shel tainig is not a definition. It is a different objective, right? But it's not an objective intrinsically in the Maisa. It's not that the Maisa has a different product. You understand? The Maisa of Rechitza is defined, it has to be a physical product of Rechitza. Okay? We have to be able to define Rechitza in an absolute way. And in that sense, it would have to be to, however you want to define it, to remove remove lichlich of the guf, right? Applying the mayim to change your physical environment in some way, change the way your body is. It's a certain type of a cleansing activity, however you want to define it, right? But if you're going to say shel tainig is usser, That's not the shell tainig is not a different product. That's just a different degree. It's a different degree of how what I'm removing affects me.
You're experiencing it differently. The experience, yes, of tainig is like a pure pleasure.
It would be like trying to define eating when you're really hungry or eating when you're not that hungry. Say, well, one, I'm really enjoying, and one, I'm not enjoying that much. Eating to survive or eating to enjoy. Okay? In terms of your definition of eating, it's the same. It's just a question of why am I doing it? What's my motivation for it? But I'm picking the same maisa. No. It's not the same thing as chofer. Because chofer, I'll say, which maisa am I engaged in? Which product am I seeking? In other words, when I dig, there are two things that happen. I remove dirt and I create a hole. There are two products. There are physically two products by chofer. And I want to know which thing am I producing? Okay? But when I say there's a rechitza that's of tainig and a rechitza that is just getting me back to a basic level of happiness, but not really a tainig, it's not, those aren't two products. Those are two effects in me. Those are two effects in the gavra. That's just saying that when I remove dirt from my body, sometimes it has an effect of tainig in me, and sometimes it has an effect of just bringing me back to normal. But that's how I relate to the maisa. You understand? That's not internal to the action. There's two things. There's what the maisa does in a physical sense, the action and effect, the product, the action and the product of the physical action. Let's think this through carefully. Chesky, you know what I'm saying? When I dig, there is a product of the physical maisa. Okay? That's the dirt coming out. That's the dirt being displaced. Okay? Physically speaking, that creates a hole and it also accumulates dirt. Okay? Then there's a separate question. How does it make me feel? Am I happy about it? Am I not happy about it? How happy am I about it? Okay? Those are not things that define the maisa. That's after the maisa. That's the effect of the maisa in me. There's two effects, and we can't confuse them. There's the physical action and the effect of the physical action. That whole thing is called the maisa. And then there's an effect of the whole maisa on me. Give you an example. Let's say we say, in certain cases, we say that if you do a psik resha, for instance, let's say the question of psik resha, right? You do something on Shabbos that's mutter, like you're washing your hands, but it also causes an isser, like watering the grass. The old question, washing your hands over the grass, right? So I'm washing my hands, that's what I'm choosing to do. If you'd ask the guy, what are you doing, washing or watering? Well, I'm washing my hands. But memela, with the washing of his hands, it also creates watering the grass. So some say that if you don't care about the second product, then it's mutter. So what does it mean? It means if it's your lawn, you can't do it, but if it's your neighbor's lawn, you can't do it. Because it's a question of, am I happy that the water is being, that the lawn is being watered? Am I happy about it? But that's a secondary, am I happy, nichale or lo nichale, is a secondary question. It's a secondary thing. It's not within the maisa itself. That means to say that since I don't care about the second thing that's happening, I can say I'm just doing the first thing. But but you wouldn't say that if I just poured water on the lawn and I don't care about it, that's certainly watering the lawn. Let's not get. I see I'm getting overly complicated here. Let's go back. Let's go back to the original case. I'm sorry.
Isn't climb physically the same action? Are you running for hemorrhage or for modeling?
It's not the same product.
One is
showing somebody what a beged looks like, and one is protecting your body from the elements.
I thought the product had to be a physical thing. That's why I didn't say that.
But where's the where's the distinction in shell tainig in the product?
Well, if it's not physical, you say it's producing some kind of pleasure effect on me versus just like I have to get this dirt off my hands.
So then it's no. See, by kilayim, there are two distinct things. Okay, there are two distinct activities. Physically speaking, two distinct activities. showing somebody how something looks, right? Modeling something. And then there's the activity of protecting myself with from the elements. Now we have to see which one of the two do we say the person is doing. Physically, they're the same. Physically, they both get done by putting something on you. But which one is the person involved in? What's his? So then we say, well, it goes by your kavana. If your kavana is to model, right, and not to protect yourself, then we say you're defined as being osek in showing the clothing, not in being a nene from the clothing. Levisha is a certain type of being, is a certain type of protection that you're getting from the clothing. So one second. So we'll say, in other words, there's a problem, but the case by Kilayim is very important because it demonstrates that physically it's one thing. Physically it's one thing. But we don't define an Isser just by a physical form. It goes by the Maisa. The Maisa takes into account the product of the... What differentiates a person between modeling and wearing? What's the difference between modeling and wearing? It depends on what you're accomplishing by putting the clothing on. What am I accomplishing by putting that beged on? What am I accomplishing by putting the beged on? So if I'm accomplishing showing somebody that this looks nice, that's called modeling. If I'm accomplishing protecting myself from the elements, that's called wearing. Okay? So the Gemara there says, you're allowed to do the action of modeling as long as you're not mechavein for the benefit of the wearing. Because then we'll say that you're really involved in modeling. That's the maisa that you chose. Which maisa? Torah says, don't wear shatnez. It means to say, don't choose the maisa of levisha. Don't do the maisa. What's the maisa of levisha? Donning a beged for its protection. That is the maisa. Okay. Being a nene from the protective element of the clothing. That's what levisha is. But if I'm osek in modeling, I'm not involved in wearing. I'm not involved in wearing at all. It's a completely different action. Okay?
Where do we draw the line?
The point is that there's a fork. The point is that there's a fork. In terms of what differentiates wearing from modeling is the intent which of the two possible products that come from putting on a beged are you really involved in?
Okay? What are you calling the products here?
The accomplishments, the accomplishment of the action. What is the action? What is the action?
The dying and the product that it's creating is
either warmth or modeling.
Exactly.
They're not different mice, it's the same mice, they're different products.
It's the same physical action, but there's two different products. What's that?
The mice is the dying.
The action, physically speaking, it's the dying. Okay, but what am I involved in?
Right.
Am I involved in modeling, or am I involved in gaining a benefit from the clothing? The activity of donning a beged for its clothing is called wearing.
So we should call it product, or we should call it an objective, towards an objective.
An objective, fine. Okay. Right. So the objective has to be thought of internally within the Maisa. Okay. That's an object. The different objectives will really define what you're doing. Okay? But those are objectives. We have to break it down in terms of the physical thing. What are the outcomes of those of that physical thing? What are the possible outcomes of that thing? And what did the Torah define? So the Torah says levisha. So it means to say, don't engage in the beged physically for the outcome of its benefit. Okay, it's protective if it's protective benefit, let's say, or beautification. Okay, meaning to say some effect in the guf, some sort of an effect in the guf. Don't choose the, don't wear, don't don the beged for an effect in the guf, either of protection or of adornment. Okay? But when I say rechitza, and I want to differentiate it from tainig or ordinary, then it's not, that's not an intrinsically different type of a maisa. It's the same. Physically, it's applying the water for the removal of a foreign element. When we say tainig versus not tainig, we're just saying, how much am I getting out of it? We're sort of like measuring degrees. How, it's a linear scale. There's no fork. There's no one maisa that could either be wearing or modeling. It's one maisa, and it's just a question of how far am I going in it. You understand?
What point
just a question of how far, how much benefit am I getting from the removal of the schmutz. We call it tainig when the removing of the dirt is really just minimal, and essentially I'm getting a, you know, it's a, when it's not really necessary. For instance, it's not a necessary thing. And it's called not tiny when it's basically a necessity.
So, but there's not really a do there. It's not really creating. It's not really.
That's exactly right. No, you're right. It's creating clean hands. That, you're exactly right. So that's why on the Deraisa framework, it couldn't be a formulation like that. The difference between tainig and not is really rechitza is creating the clean hands or whatever it is. Right. The only differentiation between tainig or not is how important was it for you to create these clean hands? Is it because you just don't, just because is really you really enjoy the cleanliness of the hands, or because you just had no choice, you couldn't do anything without it? But in terms of the physical, in terms of the physical maisa, the definition of rechitza is going to be the same.
You're washing and your hands are clean?
Right, I'm osek in the same activity, removing the dirt from my hands and producing my clean hands. We're only calling it different because we'll say that sometimes you really have to do it and sometimes you don't really have to do it. But the it is the same. It's not like Levisha is a different it from modeling. Say, don't do it. Okay, I'm not doing it, I'm modeling. Right? It would be like saying you could wear shatnez if it's really, really cold. That's what it would be like. It would be like, don't wear shatnez, but that's only really fancy, fine begadim that you're going to walk around and feel really important in. But if you're basically really cold and you just need a shatnez thing to warm up, otherwise you're going to be really cold, then it's mutter. But that's linear. That's just a question of degree. It's just a question of what's my motivation for seeking the benefit of the beged? That's not a deraisa formulation. That's saying, don't seek, if I would say, you can't wear shatnez unless you're really cold and you basically can't do anything without it. That would mean to say, translating that into halachic terms, it would be, don't engage in the benefit of the beged unless it's really important. That's not a deraisa formulation. Can't differentiate the maisa from, you can't differentiate the maisa in those terms. Unless you flip the whole thing around and just say it's a thing in the gavra. But that's not a derisive framework either. It would seem. Exactly. Right. Kavana is only coming in to decide exactly which mice he's engaged in. That's the whole question. Those are all the problems with Malach Shachil Chagufa and Sikresha, Nichale, Lo Nichale, Miskaven. All of those things are questions of which thing can we say the guy is involved in? If he's getting a benefit out of it, do we say he's involved in it? If he doesn't care about it, do we say he's involved in it? If it has to happen, do we say he's necessarily involved in it? But those are all questions of, is he involved in it? We never say, but if it's it, then it's usher. That's right. But the Rabbanon can formulate things in a much looser way. Can we define how they could define things? That's a good question. But they can say, they can create heterim. They can say, rechitza is asur, but there's a matir if there's a, but you only required to withdraw from rechitza to a certain degree. Why? Because it's not an absolute isur of rechitza. They're not formulating a maisa of rechitza and saying this per se is nisur. They're saying involving yourself in rechitza takes you away from Yom Kippur. So how much rechitza takes you away? We can draw the line arbitrarily. Even we can draw the line. We can say when it's motivated by pleasure, don't do it. When it's not motivated by pleasure, then it's okay. Their whole way of formulating is different. You could say, halachically speaking, you could say they made an issa with a matir, if that's the way you like looking at it. But we can think about it.
So
yeah.
What are modifying a deraisa?
No, they are not modifying a deraisa at all. They're simply coming in and deciding that for some reason, they're coming in and deciding that the deraisa needs support.
What does that mean? What's the difference between that and modifying?
No, because they're not saying this is deraisa. They're not saying, they're adding. Modifying would mean take the deraisa and change it. They're not changing the deraisa. They're saying, if you eat chicken and milk, you might come to eat meat and milk. They're not changing the deraisa. The deraisa is always meat and milk. They're coming in as a geder, putting a fence around the deraisa. Stay away from, don't get too close to the deraisa.
Okay. So what's the fence here?
What's that?
What's the fence?
Oh, this is a good question. This is not necessarily a fence. We have to see what this case is. But yeah.
So
the Ron's idea is that's the ordinary. Ordinary Drabbanon is just a geder, or it could actually let's talk a minute now for the types of Drabbanons that we have. Okay, ordinary Drabbanons are like I mentioned, like basar b'chalav. So we say ofen chalav, right? It's a geder. Stay away from the. Don't get close to the deraisa. But there's another form of Drabbanon. What's another form of Drabbanon? Where it comes to support the actual fulfillment of a deraisa. In the sense, they're the same. One is an isser is fulfilled when you keep away from it, right? But what's an example where they make a Drabbanon to help you be mekayim a mitzvah, let's say? Shvus is good. So Shvus is a good example, like in the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, or like the Ramban says in Chumash, that the Torah says you should rest on Shabbos, even from things that are not malacha. Otherwise, you'll be, like the Rambam says, a person could be mevatel the whole time of Shabbos. He won't be over any malacha, but he'll be busy all day. So there's a certain kiyum in the mitzvah itself of resting, of actually not being busy, laman yanuach. And the Rabbanon can add isurim to help fulfill that. To help to fulfill that this morning. Or like a simplest example is the whole Haggadah, the whole Seder, right? I always say there's a mitzvah of Shinantim Lovanecha. So they instituted Shinuyi Halayla, Karpas, to make the kids ask. All of those things are ways of helping the person fulfill his deraisa better. Leaning, drinking Dalad Kosos, all of those things are to bring into mind the themes of the night that are part of the mitzvah of Sipur HaLaila. Could a person be Yotzei Sipur HaLaila without fulfilling any of the Rabbanans? Of course, it's possible. But what are the Rabbanans there for? They're there to help an ordinary person fulfill his mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Yisrael, right? Or the Gemara says, when you say Kriya Shema, you elongate the Dalad at the end. You know why? It helps you concentrate and have kavana that in the meaning of echad, whatever it is. A lot of we say if you pick up a lulav you're yotzei, but midrabanan we also have a whole lengthy nianuim, whole lengthy series of shaking it this way, that way, the dalad ruchos to make you think of the idea of lulav is to show is to give a certain shevach to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we extend it. We do the Dalad Ruchos, we do up and down. All of those things are coming to help a person fulfill the Daraisa better. Because a person could pick up the Luv and be Yotzei. Mid-Daraisa, you picked it up to move it, you'd be Yotzei. But the Rabbanan don't want a person to get away and fulfill the Daraisa without concentrating somewhat or without directing his mind to what's going on. So they say, no, don't just pick up the Lulav. Shake it in four directions and up and down to show that the Dalad Misha Dalad Ruchos Shalom Bashamayim Uva Oretz So a person, when he fulfills the Daraisa, he's really getting the benefit from the Daraisa. He's really getting the intended ideas. So those are two kinds of Darabanans. Meaning to say, they're clearly adding on. There's the Issa Daraisa, and they're trying to be marchik you from engaging in the Isser. Or there's a mitzvah midaraisa, and they're trying to help you fulfill it in its fullest way. Mitzvah bishleimusa. You understand? But what the Ran is introducing is a third breed. Is a different breed altogether. Okay? And it's controversial in the Rishonim. Such a thing exists. But the Ran's idea is what? Lo Mosra Nakosav El Chachamim, meaning to say that Mida Oraisa, the Torah says Shvos, there should be more Inuyim. Not protecting something else. There should be more Inuyim. Mida Oraisa, there are other things that you should withdraw from to suffer some sort of a discomfort. But what? The Torah doesn't say what they are. Strangely, the Torah does not say what they are. And it was given to the Rabbanan to flesh it out. And whatever they decide, that is it. The big I-T, capital I, that is it. That is the Daraisa. Lo Mosra Nakosav El Chachamim means to say that the Torah created an empty category and left it to the Chachamim to fill it in. And it was up to their discretion how to do it. And however they did it, that became the force, that has the force now of Daraisa. And the rules of Daraisa would apply. That's why he says the cotton should be chayiv and chinuch on it, you shouldn't be allowed to do it to the cotton, just like Daraisa's. So it's an amazing kind of like a hybrid mitzvah that the nature of what you're doing is it's not just the general lo sasser, listen to the chachamim. I mean, when a person throws out the chicken and milk, so he's also, it's also deraisa, because Torah says listen to the chachamim. But that's just a general thing. That's just general. That's a general injunction, but it doesn't have the character of deraisa. We say safek drabanan lekula, safek deraisa lechumra. What they do doesn't have the character of deraisa. It's not a mitzvah of basar b'chalav. But over here, the inuyim were given to them to formulate. And violating them would actually be violating a daraisa of inuy. It's a phenomenal concept. I mean, what's the purpose of such a thing? Why do you have an exception like that is what's strange. Yeah. It's where like, it's a third institution. It's like like I said, the category is Daraisa, but it's not, it doesn't have any contents, and the Rabbanan have to fill that box. And whatever they place, and it's up to them. Heim hikilu, they can exclude the Kala, they can exclude the Melech, they can exclude. As a matter of fact, it's funny thing. The Kesef Mishnah, when he tries to answer the Ran's answer, the Ran's question, he says, so they excluded the Ketanim. It was up to them too. Why can't they exclude the Ketanim?
So.
So it seems in these cases, the Torah, like I said before we said that, what is the Torah doesn't tell you, the Torah gives the law, and it says this activity is asur, right? And we don't try to rationalize it and think and say, well, like Shlomo, it's only asur, so I don't do this, so therefore if I'm not in danger of it, it's not asur. There's nothing like that. We treat it like an axiom, like an absolute. Okay, like a law. But the Rabbanans have the other formulation, that they're formulated only in terms of the safeguard. But it seems in these cases the Torah is saying Shavos is saying that the Isser of Achila and Shasiya, that's primary. That's inviolable. Okay? That's a regular form of Daraisa. But there's another objective. There is but there's an additional thing of a certain objective of there's an additional objective of inui, but the method is not in this case it's like the Torah is telling the Rabbanan over here there's an objective, there's a deraisa objective, But the method is not, this is like the Moshe Nakasav with his Torah is telling you there's an objective, and that's the ikkar. The Maisa is not the ikkar. So the Rabbanan have the right to decide how to achieve that objective. And it's not formulated in the sense of strict Maisa, because the Torah is specifically saying, here's a case where there's an objective to be fulfilled, not a case of laying down a particular Maisa. The two cases where it's brought down is here in Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed too, that it's not really a Yom of Isser Malacha per se, but it's a day that's flanked by Kedushas, by Shabbos, has the Shabboson before and the Shabboson after. It has a certain Kedusha of Karbanos, and it shouldn't just be a regular, ordinary day. Is there really a, there's no Kedushas HaYom of Isser Malacha, it just shouldn't be ordinary. It's not right, like Gemara says, like Kal Vachomer, it's not right that a day that has before it and after it, Kedusha, should be just like an ordinary day. There's a certain unity of the Kedusha in Yom Rishon and the Kedusha in Yom Shvi, and it's not possible just to flip back to Chol in the middle. But there's no real intrinsic Isser Malacha. So the Torah says, it's Moser Nakas L'Chacham. The Chacham had to decide how to maintain the flavor of something unusual without the necessity of implementing an intrinsic day of Isser Malacha. So they said, okay, if it's a Davar HaOvid, you can do it. If it's Letzarach Moed, you can do it. You understand? It's like the Torah made in these unique cases, the objective is really the mitzvah, and it gave it over to the Rabbanan to formulate the means to that objective. But whatever they formulated, that's it. This is how, the Rabbanan are the ones who are in control of determining, this is how to achieve Inui. This is how to make Chol HaMoed different. And however they chose it, that's the, it's like a specific direction. It's like a specific, it's not a low susser in general, it's a specific. But in terms of fulfilling a specific objective, the regular low susser is just general. Keep the Bnei Yisrael away from, help them keep the Torah. That's the general objective of the Rabbanan. Here the Torah laid out a specific objective of Inui. But it's not rechitza per se, it's not sicha per se. Achila and shesia is per se, but those are not. That results in the formulation of Moser Nakas L'Chacham. Yeah. Hitiru means, in other words, all the Ran means by hitiru is he means like this. It wasn't that the Torah said to the Rabbanon, figure out what these Inuyim are. There are more Inuyim, figure out what they are. That's like when the Torah says, don't do malacha. And the Rabbanan has to figure out what is malacha. But whatever they're looking for and whatever they find has to have the quality of the Raisa. And they can't say, well, we think this is, it makes sense that that sowing is and this is the Raisa, but we'll be matir it in a certain sense. Well, that's not their job. Their job is to find it and identify it. And whatever they find and identify has to have the structure of the Raisa, because that's what they're looking for, right? Over here, they were given the right, there was nothing to look for.
They were given the right to fulfill.
They were given an objective to fulfill. Produce, this day has an objective not only of achila, of no achila and shesia, but there should be inui too. But the Torah doesn't say what produces the inui, it just tells you that there's an objective of inui. But so that means to say it was given to the Rabbanan to formulate whatever they think is necessary to produce the inui that is sufficient.
That's what I'm asking.
So they can decide. They can say, well, if the kala doesn't wash her face, that still will be sufficient inui. If the kala washes her face, that will still be sufficient inui. So they did, when it says hitiru, it means to say they didn't make objective maisei iser. They made it like a Rabbanan. They made Isurim and Heterim that they deemed sufficient to accomplish Inui. Torah said, devise, like a lot of times happens is like an overall effect in the Gavra that it's seeking. Over here, it's an effect in the Gavra that the Torah is seeking. The person should have Inui, should have the experience of Inui. So that's why they can be defined in terms of how it affects the Gavra. You understand? But if the Torah says rechitza, then it would have to be a rechitza objectively.
What's this?
That The sense to this is that it's not rechitza per se. There is nothing about rechitza per se that should be usher. Achila and shasiya is really essential to the day, because that you want to deprive the foundation of the that's like inoy to the guf, to the nefesh. But rechitza, but the rest of it is not. The rest of it is there should be a certain atmosphere created on the day. And the inui, the other, and we have to think about the ideas. But the point is, it's not, the Torah couldn't do it. Because if the Torah would asur a rechitza and sicha, it would have to be in an objective sense. They would turn them into simply maisei iser. But even in the here, even in the deraisa, they're only serving a purpose of producing the overall effect of inui in the person. The only way the Torah can do that is maser makasov. It's very weird. Tosfos does not hold from this whole concept. Tosfos does not hold. Here and in the Chol HaMoed, he says, it's all Derabanan. There's no such thing as Master Nakal. He does not hold from it.
Because it's formulated like a Derabanan, sort of.
Yeah, it's because it's like a strange hybrid. And even the Ran, in the end, is bothered by it. He says, nobody seems to say, no one counts it. It should be counted as a separate mitzvah. I mean, that's what he says. He says, it should be counted as a separate mitzvah. It means to say, these other inuyim.
The
rechitzas.
Yeah.
Or at least shari inuyim on the one thing should be another mitzvah. Shvos should be another mitzvah of tashpisu from the other things. But he doesn't find it.